Hi, Keith. Sorry about that.
Well, no sorry at all. Just a lot of stuff about memory today, and that's my question.
Okay.
I have a history since youth of my short-term memory is not so good. And I have a prescription of oxytocin, which I haven't picked up yet. And the half-life is like 1 to 6 minutes or something like that. And I read about the rats and injections into different parts of the brain and stuff, and the hippocampus seems to be where nerve growth can be stimulated with this stuff.
That's right.
So I'm assuming this triggers something, a longer-lasting mechanism. And so my question, if it is answerable, is how do I time this stuff?
Actually, one of the better times is bedtime, simply because the oxytocin also will interrupt the stress signal called ACTH from the pituitary gland to the adrenal glands. Now, it doesn't totally interrupt it, no way, because we got to be able to...
I could use all the interruption I can get at that point.
Okay. But it
I am still a little kid that doesn't want to go to bed.
Okay. But it slows that signal down anyway. And that's... Many people tell me they sleep better at night if they take the oxytocin then. So if that's... if you're using the oxytocin because you want it to help stimulate the brain in general... the point about the half-life, sir, is that's just how long you can fight it in the blood, and then after that it's done its job and it's and the effects continue, so one doesn't worry about that. But if you take
it triggered something that was longer lasting.
You're absolutely correct. So if you were to take it at bedtime, that would also give you the added benefit of many people reporting they sleep better with it. Now, if you had heard from earlier, sir, the taurine that I mentioned has also been found to stimulate the growth of new brain cells in exactly the same area. Now, why anybody named it hippocampus, which just in Latin means horse's field, I have no idea. I don't think I've got horses horses running around in my head, but who knows, maybe I do. But that's the what that area of the brain got named, and the taurine stimulates the growth of new brain cells, particularly in that area. And nobody, and I guarantee you, sir, nobody ever, ever OD'd on taurine, T-A-U-R-I-N-E.
Well, I have a high meat diet, so I'm probably have, should I do even extra taurine then?
You betcha, and let me tell you why. There's something like a 28-nation study of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and what they found is the more taurine in the urine, the less they died of cardiovascular events. And the less taurine in the urine, the more they died of cardiovascular events. So it does more good around the body than just, if that were a just, stimulating brain cells. And I understand high meat diet contains more taurine, but sometimes when we have poor memory, a little bit more is helpful. Now, the other thing that you probably heard about that stimulates new brain cells happens to be lithium, and nobody has a high lithium diet because that's not found in the water supply.
I'm taking as much as I can take of that without being groggy all day.
Okay, well, don't push it too hard, sir. If you don't mind me asking,
I'm probably doing less than about these pills are 5 milligram.
Yeah.
Nothing lasts me a couple of weeks.
Okay, well, let me tell you about Dr. David Horobin. He taught us all how to prevent lithium toxicity. No kidding. He was an expert on essential fatty acids, and he's given this lecture that I attended about essential fatty acid metabolism, and he points to his, at the time they were called slides, now they're called PowerPoints, on the screen with a little light, and he says, and right here is where lithium causes toxicity by interrupting fatty acid metabolism. And so everybody took notice, and after the lecture, the usual crowd around the speaker, and someone asked, Dr. Horobin, does that mean that possibly something could be done about lithium toxicity? He says, of course. He says, all you do is have them take a bunch of extra fatty acids. And he went on as if it was nothing he was talking about. However, we have had at the Tahoma Clinic occasion to apply that in people who are taking very high dose lithium because of bipolar disease, and if they went off their lithium, they try to commit suicide and bad stuff like that. So when they came in with the early stages of lithium toxicity, sent over by a psychiatrist who actually believed in nutritional medicine, we'd have them take a tablespoon of fish oil in the morning and a tablespoon of flax oil at night, so we had all the omega-3s and omega-6s covered. You know, they came out of their lithium toxicity and were able to continue taking it without the elevating blood pressure and the shakes and all those kind of things. So you might consider extra fatty acids, sir, particularly the omega-3s, because as you know, I'm sure you know, sounds like you study stuff, the omega-3s are extremely important for maintaining cognitive function as we grow older.
Yeah, well, the amount of lithium I'm taking is pretty minuscule, so I'm doubting if toxicity is a problem. It's just
Yeah, but if it's giving you an adverse effect, that's not what it does to most people.
Yeah, okay, so maybe I'm peculiar.
Aren't we all?
Okay, so more fish oil.
Yep, more fish oil.
Okay, and taurine, what kind of dose are you thinking?
A couple of grams a day. It's not that expensive, and it's worthwhile.
Yeah, expense isn't. My brain is what's going to make me a living here. So two grams a day, okay? How about upper range of tolerance? Decent, likely tolerance.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if anybody studied that, but I do know a couple people take 4 or 5 grams a day. They say they feel better with it.
Okay.
One other thing, sir, you're keeping track of your testosterone levels. For male mental function, testosterone is quite important, and as estrogen is.
Oh, I recently found that out big time. Yeah, it did improve my decision-making immensely. And
right.
I'm not doing real high doses yet. I'm just working toward it.
Okay.
It's just basically doing that in DHEA, and the growth hormone seems to be the only thing that's relatively normal, and so oxytocin was the next thing to begin to compensate for.
Okay.
So, okay. And how about the IUs per day? What would you...
Oxytocinizing?
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 to 100. It comes in intranasal spray. It comes in little thingies you put under your tongue in either 50s or 100s.
It's what's on order is spray. So one or two of those a day, at bedtime, maybe one or two at bedtime or spaced.
No, one can take both in bedtime. Spaced is fine too, and you probably are aware that just in case you're married, you have a sexual partner, that there have been studies on using it right before that happens. And what do you know, for some people, they say things go better.
Well, it's not an option at the moment, but if I'm healthier, it certainly will be.
There you go. Work towards that.
Yeah, I'm 68 and feeling somewhat like a teenager.
Okay, sir.
Life actually looks brighter to me now than it did then.
Yay. Good.
Must have learned something, so I don't think I'll waste it this time.
Okay. Yep, well, later is better than never, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Life is a gift.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you so much for calling, sir.